be with us as we get into the Word of God tonight, that we would be encouraged and that you would speak to our lives. Help me to be able to lay this out well. In Christ's name, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Tonight, I would like us to make a list of things that we should never confess as true again. Things that we'll never say again because we've got some promises about them. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. The first thing that we should not confess anymore is that we're afraid, because the Lord has given us the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. There are whole messages I brought, you've heard other evangelists bring in. We're not to fear man. There's only one person that we're commanded to in the Bible to fear, and that's God. That's right. So we are not given the spirit of timidity and fear. Don't let your fears control. Don't confess and embrace fear. Embrace the power of God in your life. That's an important one for us. Look over to Romans chapter 12, please. We're going to go quickly, so I'll follow along. Mark these. I had a lot of times when preachers are preaching like this, I'll put little check marks next to verses that he's bringing out. Chapter 12 of Romans, chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Here's the second thing. We should not confess doubt. God's given us the measure of faith. In my Bible class, we're in Ephesians, and we were in chapter 4, verse 7. It says, God has given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. God tells us to do something. God gives us a ministry to do. Sunday night, we talked about taking the mantle that God gives us. God will give us the ability to do it. Don't doubt God. He has given us the measure of grace and the measure of faith according to the gifts that he gives us. So don't doubt God. Don't hesitate. We don't doubt him for our salvation. We should not doubt him when he speaks. So don't embrace doubt. Speak out, as it were, confidence and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says when the unsaved see us doubting God, they see in us a spirit of wickedness. We say we trust God for our salvation, then we run around like a chicken with our heads cut off. So don't doubt God. Don't embrace doubt. Turn over to Psalm. We were in Psalms 27 on Sunday morning. I'd like to revisit a verse there, and then one in chapter Psalm 28. Psalm 28:7. Remember, the first verse was sort of the theme of Sunday morning's message. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? For the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my strength. Look over in chapter 28, one psalm over. Look at verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is my strength. It says that in chapter 27, verse 1, chapter 28, verse 7. You could go through the Psalms over and over and over and over again. So what is it that we don't confess? Weakness. Inability. God is my strength. He is my shield. We're going to come up to circumstances in our life. You start putting these different promises that we're talking about together. We don't have to fear. We don't have to doubt God. We don't have to be in weakness, but we can be in strength, and we can be in faith and grace, and we can know that God can give us the victory in our life. Don't confess fear. Don't confess doubt. Don't confess weakness. Look at 1 John chapter 4, please. 1 John chapter 4. Things that we should not outwardly confess anymore or embrace. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is in you? The Holy Spirit, God. Let's just make it more general. God. God is in me in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ is in me. God has put his mark on me, which is the seal of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, greater is he that is in me than is in the world. Now, if you take the verses that follow or go before this, it talks about these different spirits of Antichrist and all these other spirits that are in the world, which we would say represent Satan. So what is it that we don't confess? We never again confess Satan's superiority over me, his hold on me, his ability to defeat me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Don't give Satan the luxury of saying, I think he's in charge and he can overwhelm me. He's not bigger than God. Don't give him that time of day. He ought to be respected. He is an admirable foe. The Lord tells us that we're to watch, and he's a lion, roaring lion, all those different things. But he is not supreme. There is only one Almighty God. And we are not to confess that place to Satan. We do not give that position to Satan in any area of our life. These are good things. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Do you notice here that we are always to triumph? Triumph means victory, doesn't it? Tonight I walked up to Brother Byerly. He's always getting the songs ready on Wednesday night. And I try to add a song or two sometimes. And I said, could we sing Victory in Jesus tonight? I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, and one sweet day, that song of victory. Sing it with me. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Never again confess defeat. Amen. We are not defeated. You've heard preachers say it. I said it. I've read the end of the story. And we win. I was looking on the news a week or so ago, and one of these new movies that came out, it was one of the premieres, just first showings. The guy came out from the premiere, and he said to everybody, and he announced what the ending was. They beat him up, and he is in the hospital, because just ruined the whole movie for him. Well, Satan, we've ruined your movie. Jesus wins. Never again confess defeat. God wins in the end. You know, there's a war, and there are battles and skirmishes in a war. But it ends up, who wins? It's Jesus. Don't confess defeat anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. By the way, I'm preaching this to Pastor Butts as I go along. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us four things: wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. I just want to look at the first one. Christ has made our wisdom. In James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he gives it to you, and he gives it to you liberally. He never rebukes you or reproves you for asking. So God is our wisdom, is he not? So you know what? We need to say, instead of saying, confessing lack of wisdom, there's nobody that knows the way through this thing. I don't have any wisdom. We know him that is wisdom. And what does it say in that verse there? He says, but ye are in Christ. God hath made him unto us our wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. He is the wise choice in life. And all the people of the world that accuse us of being fools in Romans chapter 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Do not allow yourself to confess the foolishness of this world, but embrace the wisdom of God. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Things that we should not embrace or confess. Look at verse 7. Casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. Did I quote that verse correctly? What did I leave out? All. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. All your care. What's another word for care? Worry, anxiety, those are both words. I was thinking of the word worry. Casting all your worries upon him. Don't confess your worries. That word confess maybe is messing us up tonight, but don't embrace your worries. Cast all your worries upon the Lord. He cares for you. You know, people in the world, like I remember my pastor 100 years ago, he's talking about people going down to the psychologist, you know, paying $100 an hour to get some help to overcome their worries. And it's free. Just take it and put it on God's altar. Quit worrying about it. Don't confess your worries. Don't embrace your worries. Give them over to the Lord. Don't hang on to your worries. Don't name your worries. Don't let your worries sit on your shoulder. Give them over to the Lord. What are you worried about tonight? Don't embrace them. Take all your cares and give them to the Lord, for he cares for you. You know, Christian, often on Wednesday nights, when people come into church, I wish sometimes that we could almost take a picture of us. We come into church. We're tired. There's problems. There's different things like that. And sometimes we drag in and you sit down. And it's interesting to watch us as we leave after hearing the reminders and the promises of God, and we prayed together with a brother or a sister, and we're just give it all over the Lord. We often walk out of here with a much bouncier step because we stopped embracing all of our worries and we've given them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Quit worrying. Quit embracing your worries. Give them over to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Well, you can take that whole idea of liberty. The Lord's given you freedom. He's given you strength. He's given you ability to live in overcoming, abounding Christian life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The opposite of liberty is bondage. You don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to confess that thing that's reached in and kept you from being in victory. Christ is our liberty. Tonight, is there something that you've allowed? You've allowed something to put you in bondage? I was in my office a couple days ago, and Mindy's son Ray's son too. Vin Dean Ray's son. Called Jordan. And he's getting ready for finals. And she said, oh, it's Jordan. Can I talk to a second pastor? We were busy. I said, go ahead and talk to him. Glad. Yeah. And tell him the pastor said hi. And so he said, well, say hi. She put him on the screen. Hey, Jordan, how are you doing? Got finals? Are you doing well? And I said, well, be careful that you don't allow yourself to become in bondage. You need to be luo from that. You say, what in the world? Luo is the main verb that you learn all your other conjugations from in Greek. Luo, lue, lues, luomen, luetel, luisi, eloan, eloes, all these things you learn, okay, like that. You know what luo means? To be captivated or destroyed. God has come and set us free.
Amen.
So I said to him, don't be luoed. Okay? He said, well, that doesn't make any sense to me, Pastor. It doesn't have to. Don't live in luo. Okay? Don't be destroyed. You have been set free from your bondage. Can I say something tonight? There may be somebody here that's still been in bondage to some dirty, rotten, stinking habit in your life. That's not God's fault anymore. He wants to set you at liberty. There is not a single thing that you can't be freed from tonight in your life. And I say that to everybody. You say, are you speaking to me? No, I'm speaking to everybody. And often Satan sneaks up and he tries to destroy and he tries to set us. We need to be set free from those things. And Christ has come to set us at liberty. Doesn't want us to be in bondage. Romans chapter 8, you know this one, verse 1. I don't think we need to look this one up. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. Don't condemn yourself. In Christ, that condemnation has been rolled away. In Christ, your condemnation is under the blood. There, in my notes here, there is therefore N-O-W. There is therefore now no condemnation. It doesn't say there is therefore in the future no condemnation. There is therefore what? Now. Do you know what Satan does to people? He tries to get them to beat themselves up over their mistakes. Who has never made a mistake after you were saved? Let's take the politically correct word out of it. Who has never sinned since you were saved? Okay. There is therefore now no condemnation. Who wants to come along and accuse us? Who is the accuser of the brethren? That's one of the names of Satan. He wants to come along and put us back into condemnation, back into chains. Boy, as I studied through some of these things, and this reminded me of what we have in Christ. And if we're not careful, do you see how Satan begins to make us live a defeated mind? That's where the battle is about these things. Look, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4. One of the first verses, when I first got saved, Landon, this was my first verse I chose as my favorite verse in the Bible. For a long time, people say, what's your favorite verse? I say, Philippians 4:13. How many of you at some point probably said Philippians 4:13 was one of your favorite verses in the whole Bible? Okay, so let's look at that, Philippians 4:13. Let's say it together. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth. I can do how many things? So what do we not want to confess? I want to not confess the word can't. It can't be done. Oh yeah? God can't do that. I see. Yes, God can. I can do all things through Christ. We've heard it preached on it. Is it? I can do all things in my own energy. I can do all things through Christ, which gives me the strength. So, Can I get an usher to step out? They're all talking as they come up, but they need to be quiet as they come in. I can do all things through Christ. Have you allowed yourself to allow Satan to get you to feel like you can't do what God says you can do? Do you see the psychological, spiritual battle there is? We have been set at liberty. We have been empowered. We all these different things. We don't have the spirit of fear. We don't have to be intimidated by man. Greater, do you see all these things? But we pretty soon begin to confess the things that God has set us changed from. Let's look at one more last verse, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply, there's that word again, all your need according to his riches and glory. God said, I'll take care of everything you need, not everything you want. So what's the word that we don't want to confess? Lack. Shortfall. God didn't supply. God takes care of his own. He will never suffer the righteous to beg bread. God takes care of himself. So don't go around confessing lack. God will take care of you. When I was a boy, my mom was trying to do good things for me. She went down to the Christian bookstore that was nearby, and she bought me a record for Christmas. It was a record, and it was, if you remember Lawrence Welk, He had a lady that was named Norma Zimmer on there, and she and I can't remember the guy's name sang this song as a record. You know what a record is? Okay, good. All right, okay. And I got a record player for Christmas, and she bought me two records. They're both Christians, but this one was Norma Zimmer, and I would go to bed at night with that record player playing those songs. And one of my favorite was, God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. Wasn't that a smart thing for my mother to give me? Because it was embracing the truth instead of the opposite. Christians, take the list that I've given you tonight. If you want a copy of it, I'll type it up and give it to you. You don't want these hand scratches that I have right here. But sometimes you just need to reread the list. Nothing new in these, but the point is, don't allow yourself to slip from the confidence, the joy, the liberty over here to the bondage and the defeat that Satan wants us to. Amen. I hope it's an encouragement to you. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we thank you for the wonderful truths that we've rehearsed tonight. And Father, when we get misguided and forgetful of these things, and we allow Satan or our old flesh to just begin to embrace our fears and all these things, Lord, would you bring this message back to us? That what are we doing confessing these things that are no longer true? But we should be confessing your promises and your liberties and your victories and your truths. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed, I wonder if there's somebody tonight who say,